All right, are we on? What is going down here? Let me get centered. Are we here? Can everybody hear me? What is up? We're back. This is CCO Lord of the Rings live stream number 4. Today we're going to be covering the rest of Tolkien's themes that we might be able to see in the upcoming Magic set. And I got a couple fun little, I don't know, questions or conversation points, topics, whatever, that that could be or could lead to some potential reprint discussion. It's going to be fun. If you want to catch the rest of these, they're all on YouTube. Episode 3 is going to be... Is it episode 3 that we're missing on the podcast feed? I forgot to record it, so I got to rerun the audio. But episode 3 will be up on the podcast feed if you want to share it with anybody who likes podcasts but can't listen to the live stream. It's all there, or it's all going to be there. I've got the recording running right now, so I can just upload it right to the podcast feed. So we're good there. We've got super chats already. If you want to find out anything because you're new and you don't know about Commander Cookout or CCO Podcast, you go to commandercookout.com. It's all there. The cast, YouTube stuff, Sidewalk Slam, merch, shirts, stickers, everything that we've got going on. So I am going to get rid of that image and I want to bring up, is this what I want? This could be what I want. But I don't remember how to do it. I should have remembered how to do this from last time. But now I don't remember. So, anyways, maybe we'll take this window off here, and it'll just be me for a while. That is some pro streaming right there. And I've got some notes on our, I don't know, the discussion points that we had with regards to the themes that we're going to see translated from the Lord of the Rings, the novels, the novel, the story, into the set of magic cards. And real quickly, we've talked on good versus evil, corruption that power can cause. We've talked about different scenes, locations, legendary theme being a thing that we're going to see hundreds of commanders or 100 different commanders. We've talked about friendship, and that's kind of where I want to jump back into the theme discussion with friendship, because we've seen cards that that have partners with, and I think that that's probably the most on the nose. Maybe the most on-the-nose mechanic that we're going to see or get in a magic setting that lets us know that two cards are friends. We'll see Sam and Frodo. We'll see Merry and Pippin. We'll see Legolas and Gimli. We'll see Aragorn and Arwen. We'll see... I don't know. Maybe I was racking my brain to think who else we might see. Tom Bombadil and Goldberry. We might see Faramir and Eowyn, Faramir and Boromir, Aragorn and Éomer. We might see Pippin and Baragond, the other like tower guard. There's a whole ton of different friendship pairs that we could get. We could see like Frodo and Gollum, like Frodo, the master of the ring, and Gollum, the ring servant. We could see something like that. It doesn't necessarily need to just be friendship that binds two cards together. It could be the ring or the ring's influence that binds Gollum, Sméagol Gollum, to Frodo. We could see Sméagol and Gollum. You could see two separate cards that have partner with each other. That could be something that we see. So lots of different options for. Let me see if I can get this to work. Because I kind of want to have cards on here now, but I'm only able to shrink myself. Anyways, here, I'll just aim myself down. I'll just aim myself down. Like so. What's up? Now I'm more in the middle. So those are some of the things that I expect to see. I'm interested to find out or to see whether or not we get any cards that are group huggy in nature with respect to Commander. If we get any cards that, like the trend in white card draw of late has been you and everybody else draws a card, or you and target opponent draw a card. I'm interested to see if that trend continues and they put it on cards that have some friendship type reference. I'm interested in that kind of thing. I think that is maybe one of the most important themes in Lord of the Rings is that. The next one that I'd like to talk about is home, the loss of home, or yearning to get your home back, or I guess the cultural significance of having a place, like the Shire, for example. We've already seen a Shire card. We know that's where hobbits live. We know at the end, for the book readers, we know that Aragorn, King Elessar, once he's crowned the King of Gondor and Arnor, gives the Shire, or re-gives the Shire back to the hobbits, and that no big person is allowed to enter in without the hobbits' leave. And that's an important thing that they get, because the Shire is like the, I don't want to call it like an analog or a stand-in for the Undying Lands, but it's almost a land that's untouched by time, because it doesn't have any corrupt or bad influence happening to it. And that's one of the reasons I think that Frodo and eventually Sam have to leave the Shire and sail into the Undying Lands, because they have touched true evil and they do have to cleanse the Shire, save the Shire from evil. And if they stay there, they could potentially re-corrupt it, like Saruman did at the end of the book. Movie watchers aren't going to be very, very familiar with that part, but it was the scouring of the Shire, ruffians from the south and half orcs, and Saruman as their leader just came and ransacked the place, and it was terrible for everybody. And the hobbits took it back, and there was a whole battle there, and all of it got left out of the films. But I'm interested in seeing that be represented in card form. Now, we haven't seen any of that yet, and I'm not sure if they're primarily targeting a younger audience with this set who might only be, or by majority, might only be familiar with the movies and the story that the movies tell. Then we might not see a whole bunch of scouring of the Shire. But I think if you're trying to represent a theme like home or belonging somewhere, or the importance of having community, or anything that I think are all important things for Magic, I think it's important to have those be represented in the game, and I'm excited to see what that looks like. I think that's going to be very important. So we're going to see Shire culture. I hope that we see Edoras and Meduseld, the hall on top of Edoras, like the hill where the Rohirrim live, their main city where the king lives, and Eowyn and where the majority of the Two Towers happens. I hope that we see that, and I hope that the cards in some way can give us a sense of those peoples being displaced, or because it happens different in the book than in the movie, the whole town doesn't go to Helm's Deep, but all of the men go off to war. And I'm hoping that we see some, something that gives us a sense of what the people who are stuck in Edoras feel, or maybe something like what the men who have to go off and fight feel, because they're fighting for their home. Saruman is trying to kill everybody in Rohan. He's trying to take over the place, right? And I hope that we can, that's depicted, right? Fighting for your home, fighting for your community, for your families, where you live. I hope that that somehow is captured on cards, maybe with new battle cards, maybe with just the story spotlight moments. You know how there's 5 or 6 story spotlight moments and you see the little thing on the bottom of the card that says mtgstory.com, go there and learn some stuff. Well, I hope it's like story spotlight, like the Rohirrim march off to Helm's Deep, and at the bottom it's like, read Lord of the Rings. I hope that it says something like that. I think that that would be super cool. So we might see that. We're going to see, or I hope that we see women and children leaving Minas Tirith to go south away from the battle that is going to happen in Pelennor Fields and in the walls of Gondor. I hope that we see how bad all the men feel that all their wives and kids have to leave. And I hope that we see the rejoicing and the jubilation of all the families returning after Gondor is saved by the Rohirrim and the army from coming up the river from the south. I hope that we see everybody coming back and how wonderful of a moment that is when the whole city is full and Aragorn is crowned king and stuff, because that is the ultimate cherry on top of the we belong here, this is our home cake. And I hope very much that that's represented in card form somehow. The crowning of Aragorn, the coronation of King Elessar, that might be a card. The crowning of Aragorn, that might be a card, right? Gandalf's holding up the crown and putting it on his head, and Frodo's there because he passed the crown to Gandalf, and I hope that that's all there. At the end, after that, Aragorn's traveling with the everybody that's going back up to Edoras with like dead King Theoden and Galadriel and everybody, and then the heralds are like yelling at the Pukulmen in the forest, like King Elessar gives this land to the Druidine people or whatever, right? And just little moments like that that represent that people live in this world. I think there's a lot of opportunity to put that onto cardboard and have it be a meaningful card or a good card. And when you see cards like the Shire, like we already have, it gives you a green, or you can go green one, tap it, and you get a food token. To get a card like that would be fantastic. And we got a card like that. To get more cards like that, to give you the culture of the Shire, like give us the Green Dragon, the pub, give us Bywater, like the town that's down by the water, give us the Matham House in Mickle Delving, where it's like a museum, right? Give us all that kind of stuff. Give us Bree or Breeland, and give us the Prancing Pony, so we can see the intermingling of Hobbit culture and Mannish culture. Give us that card and what it looks like. Like, is it like if you control a halfling and a human, you make a food token and it's like not as good version of the Shire? Maybe that's a card. Anyways, lots of opportunity to represent home in the game. Now, the next one, little bit more ethereal or magic adjacent, is compassion and pity. And I'm not sure if we covered this extensively in previous streams, so I'm going to cover it again here. And I don't think that there's a whole ton of mechanical in-game opportunity for this, unless it's like cards that save other players. And sometimes saving other players kind of feels like kingmaking, and I sort of hope that we do not get this. And I don't know. I've been thinking about this, and I've been racking my brain about what it could look like to be compassionate or to pity somebody or to feel bad for them in the game, and what that would look like on a card, like prevent damage that would be done to somebody, save somebody's creature from dying. the next time target player loses, they don't. Like, those cards already exist and don't see play, right? Life gain and prevent damage and I guess, like, Teferi's Protection exists. We could see a card like Teferi's Protection where it's, like, Gandalf shining his magical flashlight on the Nazgul. Like, that could be a card. But I'm having trouble with where this would fit mechanically. Now, thematically, or on cards from parts of the story, there's a ton here that you could use and do. And it would be like Gandalf and Frodo's conversation about it's a pity that Bilbo didn't kill him when he had the chance. And Gandalf explains that it's actually pity that kept Gollum alive. And he might be the reason that all of this stuff actually works out. That could be something that's represented thematically. And oh, sorry, everybody in chat. I had it on the wrong setting. Are you guys bugging me about tabs? Because I had tons open. Sorry, I had it on the wrong chat setting, so I didn't see all the most recent ones. Anyways, themes. Pity. I think it's an excellent opportunity. Maybe, what does pity look like? That's like asking the question, like, what does the ring tempt you look like? We don't know that yet. We don't know, but we could ask the same question. What does pity look like? Is it, I want to save my creature, my own creature this time? Is it, I want to draw cards, prevent damage? Is it reskinning Teft's Protection? Maybe. We've seen other reskins in like Wasteland and Ensnaring Bridge, and like those are kind of expensive cards, kind of in the same altitude that Teft's Protection is in. So we could maybe see like Frodo's Pity or Sam's Pity or Bilbo's Pity and have a picture of Gollum not getting killed by somebody. Sam's Pity right at the very end of the book where he's gonna kill him. And Frodo runs away and Sam's gonna kill him, but he doesn't. And he finally gets it that he just wants to kill him so bad, but then he doesn't. Is that a Teferi's Protection? I don't know. But that's such an important part of what the Lord of the Rings can teach you is compassion, empathy, pity. I'll use the word condescension, but that doesn't mean I'm being condescending to you because I'm above you. Condescension in the traditional sense or meaning of the word is like when a king would come down off of his throne and interact with the common folk. He would condescend into regular people elevation. And that's a big one. That's a big one because Aragorn does that. He does it. That's his entire character, is coming down onto the level of the hobbits, onto the level of Eowyn when he finds out that she loves him and he says, no, you can't. When he gives the Shire away, when he gives the Druidan forest away, when he renews the oath of Kirion and gives Rohan away again, he's coming down onto the level of everybody else. And that is such an important lesson and represents the opposite of what the ring represents, in that that you could be all powerful. And instead of being all powerful, Aragorn comes down off the throne. Gandalf comes down off the throne, the opposite of, not the throne, but he comes down from a potential place of power, the opposite of what Saruman does, where he's trying to go up onto the next level of power, get the ring for himself, so he can be the ring lord, so he can have his way. Gandalf does the opposite. And I think that would be so cool to represent either visually on a piece of art or thematically on a card, like an Aragorn card or a Gandalf card or in flavor text or all three. That would be really cool. And I hope that that's a thing. So I'm gonna grab my signature spell here. There we go. I got my Oathbreaker and my signature spell. So what do we got? We've got next one, perseverance. Perseverance. That is not giving up. I'm going to use a few different words or phrases that are all similar, but are all different. Perseverance is not giving up. That is doing your best job. That is being loyal. That is self-sacrifice. All of those things could be represented in card form that could represent perseverance. And maybe you see them on cards with partner, where you sacrifice one to save the other. I don't know when that happens. Sam is willing to sacrifice himself for Frodo, but he never really does. I'm thinking of when does that happen? Does it? I'm thinking of when Merry stabs the Witch King and he gets touched with the Black Death or whatever. Does Merry partner with Eowyn? Is that a potential combo that we see? Eowyn kills the Witch King because Merry helps her, and he has to get sacrificed or something for her to become powerful enough to kill the Witch King. That could be represented in card form, I think. Robert, you bow to no one. Yeah. Oh man, makes my wife cry every time. Funny enough, not in the book. Not in the book. He doesn't do that in the book. And pity and compassion could be getting a benefit if you buff or save a creature you don't control, right? Okay. Sorry, the comments are always a little bit behind. And the Scouring of the Shire. Yeah, Galadriel's pool. Her water mirror. We do see that in the film, but it doesn't happen. It's what could come to pass if you should fail, I think is what she says, right? And it doesn't actually happen like it does actually happen in the book. Gandalf's protection is a reskin Teferi's protection. Yeah, that's change one word and send it to print. Yeah. Well, that could be when Gandalf rides out of the gate of Minas Tirith and he shines his light up all the Nazgul and they fly away. You're killing two birds with one stone thematically there, because you're getting compassion and pity, and you're also getting light versus dark or good versus evil, right? Three birds with one stone, because you're also reprinting a expensive frickin' card. I don't even know how much that card cost, but it's not lots. So anyways, perseverance. Maybe you get something for being one of the last two players in the game. Maybe you get something if it's after turn 10. That's hard to track though. Maybe you get something if you win the game when you're at one life. I don't know. Or if you're at one life, win the game. The near-death experience. Maybe there's cards like that that really represent coming to the very uttermost end of need, to use a Lord of the Rings reference. When you get right down to one life, or sacrifice all your permanents, or if you control no permanents, you win the game, right? Like Baron Glory. Maybe you can represent perseverance that way. But I'll take it in a little bit of a different direction. In Tolkien, there's two words for hope. And this is super important stuff in the Tolkien world with regards to his themes. Good versus evil, hope versus despair. When we talk about hope, there's two kinds. You've got the Elvish word Omdir is I hope I win the lottery. I hope my wife brings home a case of beer. That's Omdir style hope. That's regular hope. And then you've got Estel. Estel is the Quenya word for hope, which is high hope in High Elven, the original Elven language. You've got Estel, which is faith that things will work the way that they're supposed to, or the way that they're designed to, if you believe in a higher power. And of course, in Tolkien, whether you're religious or not in real life, in Tolkien, in the Tolkien Legendarium, in Ea, the universe that is, there is Eru. He is the one god, and he's omniscient, and he knows everything. And when you trust in his design and you know that things will just work out because that's the way that he planned it, and you just trust what his plan is, that's Estel. That's high hope. That's like faith in God. That's like saying, like, Aragorn got cancer, but it's going to get healed because he's got to be the king. And then it gets healed because he's the king. It's like Gandalf has Estel when he says Gollum should be left alive, because for some part in this whole situation, he's going to play some part and it's going to matter. It might be bad or it might be good, and he should be alive. And that's why they always leave him alive, even though Frodo thinks about killing him and Sam thinks about killing him. And they want the Rangers in Ithilien to kill him, but they don't, because they have high hope, because Gandalf told them that something is important with this guy. So to have that be represented on a card, I'm not quite sure how that would be. Is it a win the game thing? Is it a save your creature thing? I would think, like, if you really want to, like, represent high hope properly, you would probably have something like start the game with this thing outside the game that lets you save a creature. And you hope that you can, your creature hopes that he can use it or whatever, right? But I don't know how to represent, like, faith in God on a Magic card. And I know Magic has no interest in doing that, because they're not interested in bringing, like, religion into the game. So I don't know. Let me know in the comments if anybody has any thoughts about hope versus high hope. Hope might be like, I think of the game, or the card, Dramatic Reversal. If you would lose the game, instead draw 7 cards and your life total becomes 1. That could be like, that could represent hope, right? Or draw a card at the end of the turn, you lose the game, right? Like, you just need one more card draw to try and win, right? Or gain 20 life and at the end of this turn you lose the game. You just need to be alive now so you can try to win the game before you lose. Maybe that's how they represent it. I don't know. That's so the last thing here, the last note I have about this perseverance. Oh, Scott C. Hey, Ryan, not sure you know this, but you're getting a ton of awesome shout outs in the comments section on section of Nerd of the Rings first look reaction video. Cool. I put it out on Discord, on the CCO Discord. I said, hey, go watch this and let him know that I want to do a collab with him. But he's got like a million subs, so he's probably not going to reach out to somebody like me, even though we're both big time Lord of the Rings fans. And I told him I could teach him how to play Magic on Twitter. I don't know. But awesome. If you see any Nerd of the Rings content that you think that I'd be interested in, or that you should tag me in, by all means, his name is Matt, Nerd of the Rings 1 on Twitter. Let him know, because I would love to meet him and just talk Lord of the Rings. He's a videographer by trade, and I'd love to pick his brain on that and Lord of the Rings, and offer to teach him to play Magic. I would love to do all of those things. So super cool. Yeah, when they bring religion into Magic, it often becomes cultish, totalitarian, except Sarah. I would agree. And people generally, when there's like cult representation in Magic, it's usually like bad guys and demons, and for whatever reason they're okay with that. But when you've got references or things that are like real religious things that you would find in the Bible or the Quran or what have you, they're not so ready to insert that into game any longer. They used to back in the day, like in Legends and Arabian Nights, where they had real world stuff in the game, either art or flavor text or whatever. Now they don't do that as much, but I think if they wanted to, they could have the Omdir Estel type themes in there where even if it's just in flavor text, like I'm thinking about, when Sam and Frodo are sitting like in Mordor and they're on the ground shivering because it's cold out and the clouds part just momentarily and Sam sees a star up in the sky and he says there's light beyond the shadow and it's just a passing shadow and there's light and beauty beyond it. Like you could represent that in flavor text or in card format. And I think that that would be a special way to really pay homage to Tolkien's faith. And I'm not a religious person, but I know that Tolkien, as a devout Catholic, very much was influenced by his religion when he was writing The Lord of the Rings. And you can tell in his version of like the creation of the universe and the gods and everything, it's very heavily Catholic, or he was a Roman Catholic or Christian in origin. So to have some of that represented, I think would feel in world if you put the Lord of the Rings skin on it like he did, and then you again dull the edges a little bit with magic skin on top of that, you could fit some of that in and have it feel right at home. So I think that that would be really cool. Now, I like when I see random quotes from the book or the movie in the comments. I thought of a little bit of a game that I'd like to play in the comments, but I had a couple corrections that I don't remember. Did we make last time Legolas having brown hair and no flip cards, no planeswalkers? Did we make that correction last time? If we didn't, there it is. But I had this game. I just got off a call with Anna Margaret. It's Anna Margaret on Twitter. And we were talking all about Lord of the Rings and magic. We were almost 2 hours. And everything about cards and abilities and pre-cons. And so definitely check that out. But she asked me a question that I haven't thought of yet. And because we know we're getting multiple versions of a lot of the characters, we're getting multiple Sams, multiple Frodos, multiple Aragorns, multiple Gollums at different points in the story. And I can't wait to put them all in chronological order. That might be its own stream where I just do like the Fellowship of the Ring. And then we put all the cards in order. And then the next week will be like the Two Towers. We'll put all the cards in order. And then the Return of the King, and then maybe like if there's cards from the appendices that are part of the story but not in the body of the book or the story, maybe we'll do those again. But Anna had asked me, which character do I think will get the most cards, like the most different versions of one character, right? Like we've already got two Sams, Sam the Stouthearted and then Sam the cooking guy, Sam loyal attendant with his frying pan. We got two Sams. We're going to get at least two Frodos because we've got Frodo Sauron's Bane. And then we get Frodo, who's the other partner of the precon. Are we going to get another Frodo? Are we going to get Frodo in Invisible Land when he wears the ring? What other Frodos are we going to get? Are we going to get Frodo Ringlord when he appears to Sam? Sam has a vision of Frodo all wearing white and holding Gollum like down on the ground, like groveling at his feet or whatever, right before like the doors of Mount Doom. Are we going to get that Frodo? I think we'll probably get multiple versions of every character that's in the Fellowship. We'll get Boromir of Gondor. And then we'll get Boromir the Corrupted. We'll get Gimli in a precon, and we'll get Gimli friend of Legolas, and they partner or whatever, right? And I'm counting pre-cons in this as well, because I think that we might get like three Theodens. We might get Theoden when he's like corrupted and poisoned by Saruman and Wormtongue in the set. And then we'll get like Theoden charging the field of like Pelennor Field at the battle of like in front of Minas Tirith. And then we might get like Theoden who defends Helm's Deep in the pre-con. We might get three Theodens, right? And the same is true for Merry and Pippin and Gandalf. We might get three of them because they're more central characters. But, and this is a joke, but only a little bit, I think that we could get six Aragorns. Six different Aragorns. So we've got Aragorn and Arwen wed, right? Is that the name of it? Aragorn and Arwen wed. 3-6 vigilance, human, elf, noble. Shout out to Noble Tribal. For white, green, 4. Whenever Aragorn and Arwen wed, enter the battlefield or attack, put a +1/+1 counter on each other creature you control, then you gain 1 life for each creature you control. Fantastic card in Selesnya token decks, and represents Aragorn number 1. Chronologically, that would be the last Aragorn to exist. Maybe Aragorn and Arwen dead. It's funny because it rhymes, and that would be the very last thing that happens. But we could get Strider the Ranger. That's one. Oh, wow. Jeepers, creepers. So it depends on how much into the appendices they go where it talks about Aragorn. But we could get Strider the Ranger. Then we could get Aragorn, son of Arathorn, like Aragorn the tracker or the party leader, like when he's leading the fellowship with Gandalf, or Aragorn the guide, or Aragorn fellowship leader once Gandalf dies. That could be number 2. We could get King Elessar. That's after he's crowned. I'm trying to decide if you'd get one in between Aragorn, the party leader, and King Elessar. There's a bunch of different times that could represent a fantastic Aragorn card. When he leads the Grey Company through the paths of the dead, would be fantastic. When he leads the army of the dead onto the ships, like the Corsair ships, and comes up to the Battle of Pelennor Fields, that could be one. But if it's not, you get King Elessar. You could get Thorongil, the guy that is advisor to the king, or to the steward of Gondor before Denethor, the current steward, that also knew King Theoden's dad when Aragorn was young. You could get, if you're looking at the appendices now, you could also get Aragorn, the tracker who finds Gollum, searches for him for 8 years before he finds him. This is number 5, and I haven't even talked about Aragorn's young name. His name was actually Estel, that name for hope. That's what his name was, because he was the last hope of men. And it was his destiny, as appointed to him through his lineage, by the people from the First Age who all got together and fought and died and blah, blah, blah. And he's the heir of all that. That's 6. And now we've got Aragorn and Arwen wed. That's 7. That could be 7 Aragorns. And I think that Aragorn will have the most versions. I think so. Frodo will get the most is the next one. What about Gandalf? We've got Gandalf the Grey already. We know we're going to get Gandalf the White, who I'm not convinced is going to be mono white anymore. I think he might be white blue. We might get a Gandalf in a pre-con, like Gandalf, friend of hobbits. Like, is that the other one? Because we have another picture of Gandalf when he's at the party tree with his big bushy ass eyebrows and stuff. That's 3 Gandalfs. Are we going to get 3 Frodos and 3 Aragorns? 3 Gandalfs? Who else could we get multiple cards of? Sam and Frodo and Aragorn for sure. For sure, for sure. I'm not sure who else we might get 3 of. Do we get 3 Elrons? Do we get three of everybody in the Fellowship, because they're going to be in the main set, probably two cards in the main set, and then another one in the pre-con. Like, I'm thinking about the uncommon and rare and then legendary Urzas, right? Aragorn, Hunter of Orcs. Are we going to get... We could get three Éomers, because he plays a hugely important part in the Battle of Helm's Deep in the book, right? So we could get Éomer, Third Marshal of the Mark, right when we first meet him at the start of Two Towers. That's one of my favorite parts, when Aragorn and Gimli and Legolas meet the Riders of Rohan after they just beat up some orcs and burned them all, right? And we could get Éomer, Third Marshal of the Mark. You could get Éomer, Helm's Deep fighting guy. And then you could get King Éomer at the end after Théoden dies. You could get three Éomers. And that's dependent, I guess, upon like how much oomph they want to give like the middle of anybody's character, right? Like Gandalf's character really, like Gandalf the Grey and Gandalf the White are almost like two different characters, but Éomer, Third Marshal of the Mark, or Marshal of East March, or whatever he is, whatever his title is, and the Éomer that fights at Helm's Deep are kind of like the same guy. They don't do anything or have any major transformations until Éomer becomes king. So really, to represent that on three cards would kind of be redundant, because two of them would be the same. And maybe there's just two Éomers. I saw up a little bit ago, Elrond's twins, Eladan and Elro here. They will probably get cards. I'm willing to bet they won't give them partner though. They'll probably put those two guys on the same card. I'm not sure if that's going to be a prediction yet. I don't know yet. Israel, the Silmarillion is my favorite take on the creation of the universe I think I've ever seen. Mine too, not close. I'm happy that that exists. And I listened to the Silmarillion audiobook. It's the funniest thing. I listened to the Silmarillion audiobook when I cut the grass. Because like everybody knows, I live on an acreage. I got a big ass yard. I have a riding lawnmower, and I put my earbuds in, and I got my phone in my pocket, and I'm drinking a beer in one hand, and I'm driving my tractor with the other, just listening to frickin' Silmarillion. And sometimes when there's like an important part, or a part that I didn't remember as well, or a part that I really like that I wanted to listen to again, that's just like a really nice piece of writing, I'll stop and I'll like go back 30 seconds or a minute to listen to it again. And I think of when Fingon saved Maedhros from hanging on the side of Thangorodrim by his hand, and he's going to shoot him, but then an eagle comes and knocks his arrow sideways, and instead of shooting him, he flies up there on the eagle and he cuts his hand off to save him. And then Maedhros gives up the kingship of the Noldor elves, and he gives it to Fingon's dad, Fingolfin. And that's how Fingolfin became king. And that completely changed everything that happened in the Silmarillion. And I think it's low-key like one of the most important parts in all of the whole book. And I love that part. And I listen to it over and over again because it's just such an important part and just a beautiful piece of writing. There's a few pieces like that I listen to when Aule creates the dwarves, because he wants to create like his father, Eru, the one god, created the children, the elves, and he wants to create. And Eru scorns him and says, "You can't do this. This isn't in your power to do." So he's going to smash his creation. He's going to break the dwarves. And Eru intervenes and said, "No, I get it. You don't want to make a mockery of my work. You want to do my work because you're my son." And it's such a good part. I listen to that one over and over again too. Just it's just applicable, and it reminds me of my own kid. And sometimes the things that he does are because I do them. And that reminds me, and it helps me do the right thing, right? So I can set a good example. And I think that kind of stuff you can translate out of a story and in onto cards. You can do that where the cards are designed in a way that you play them a certain way or in a certain strategy, or you put them in a deck that's supposed to be fun or thematic or flavorful or tells a story. And that encourages people who are learning the game, kids, new players, people who are first getting into Commander from a competitive format, that you don't always have to build a deck the way that you think is the most optimal for winning. There's all these other things that you can do. And that's more what Commander is about. And I think sets like this, Lord of the Rings and Transformers, Universes Beyond, Stranger Things, anything where we're doing outside of the regular, like, get your opponent from 20 life to 0 life, anything extracurricular or beyond that is good and gives us an opportunity to have conversations like this or tell a friend about our deck, and all of that's great stuff. Great stuff. So I'm genuinely and legitimately excited and happy that this set is finally coming to fruition. And it's been weeks now that we've had these same cards that I've just been waxing about. And I still have just tons of stuff to say. And we haven't even read all of the cards. We've just been talking about themes and speculation, who's going to get the most reprints and stuff. And then maybe next week, if we still don't have any new cards, we'll get back into looking at some of the actual cards that we have. But I'm reading some comments now. Sauron, or at least cards showing the influence of Sauron. Perfect example of not doing too many Saurons. Let's do Sauron, one or two cards maybe, and let's give a bunch of the cultural significance of Sauron, or let's give us a bunch of named orcs, like give us Snaga and Grishnok and Ugluk, give us the orcs, right? And give us reason to hate them, and give us reason to find pity in our heart for them, but still kill them, right? Keel says, might be two of a lot of characters, three of a select few. I think three is the most that we get out of any character. And I think that we probably get three Gandalfs, three Aragorns, three Frodos, maybe three Sams. We might get three Gollums. He's such an important and central part of the back half of the story that we might get three Gollums. Who else? Three Galadriels. I don't think we'll get three Galadriels. Oh, yeah, baby. Have any new cards been revealed since the last stream? No. No, I just went over that exact little bit. But it doesn't change the fact that we're here and we're talking about it. And I don't remember if I talked about this last time or not, but we were right on a good fair dinkin' number of things so far. We were right on Mount Doom being black red. Did I talk about that last time? Samwise the Stouthearted. I don't know what else we were right on. I don't remember. The other thing that I wanted to do after we talk about who's going to have the most versions, I want to talk about, okay, so we've got the Bridge of Khazad-dûm is a reskin of Ensnaring Bridge. We've got Valley of Gorgoroth, which is a reskin of Wasteland. The Party Tree, reskin of the Great Henge. These are all fantastic reprints and thematically fit. So I'm thinking, what are some other predictions to put in these slots? I don't think we know how many reskins like this we're getting. I want to say that these cards are anywhere between $20 and $50. And I could be grossly undervaluing Great Henge and Ensnaring Bridge because I know that they used to be expensive. But I would like to say something like Teferi's Protection would be a good reskin into Gandalf's Protection. Or the Star of Arendil, Arendil, the little vial that Galadriel gives Frodo. That could be a Teferi's Protection. That could be one. And it's great card, commander playable in the $20 to $50 range and thematically fits. We could see like Sword of War and Peace is the Shards of Narsil, or Anduril is Aragorn's sword. We could see that. A sword of something and something. I say Sword of War and Peace because it's the black, or it's the red and white one. And Narsil is the red and white, the sword of the fire and sun. I'm trying to think what other reskins we could get. We got the Sol Rings. Those weren't really reskins, but we've got the Elven Sol Ring. We've got the Dwarven, the Dwaru Sol Ring, and the Man Sol Ring. What about a Dockside Extortionist? Commander staple. It's like $70, $50, $70. What would that be? Would that be an orc? It's got to be an orc, right? That's got to be an orc. I'm thinking, what if we got like those Kamigawa lands that care about legends? Like, is it Minamo? What's the blue one that untaps a legendary permanent? That's an expensive one. And you could reskin that as like the Rainbow Vale or whatever, that cave that Frodo and Sam go to with Faramir. I don't remember what that place is called. Frick. Where's my map of Middle Earth? It's not on here. I don't know. You could have it as the Falls of Rauros. How about that? Where Boromir goes pew down after he gets all pincushioned up. What other reskins could you have? More Sol Rings? You have just freaking more of them. I thought we might get a Pendlehaven Shire reskin, but I'm not sure that I'm not sure that Pendlehaven is worth enough. And the party tree is kind of like in the Shire already. So that could be one. Last thing I want to talk about here, and this was just brought up in the comments. Precons. Precons. There's four of them. We're not getting a five-color one. I wish we were getting a five-color Saruman that leads an army of orcs to destroy men, but we're not getting that. We're getting the elf one is blue-green, and it's got like Galadriel on the front of it or something, and I'm like, what the heck? Galadriel, blue-green? We're getting the Riders of Rohan one, which is white, red, blue. Which I think is what we called it, right? I think that's what, I think we called that. I'm just looking here. Food and Fellowship, that's the Hobbit one. White, black, green. I think we'll probably see Sam and Frodo will be the two kind of the main singers. And then we'll see maybe a Merry and a Pippin in there. Maybe we'll see a Gollum in there. And that's why it's got black. And it'll be food, life gain, Shire, Hobbits, Gollum, that kind of stuff. The Riders of Rohan is the white, blue, red one. And that's where we'll probably see an Éomer, an Éowyn, and a Théoden in all all three of them will be in there, and then we'll see some number of those three characters in the main set as well, like Urza and Mishra. Then we've got the Elven Council. That's where we'll see Galadriel and Elrond and Gildor from the Havens, who will be an advisor. And hopefully he's just blue with no green, because then I can play him in my advisor deck. And that's the only two-color precon. That's fine. It is what it is. And then the Hosts of Mordor, blue, black, red. Ooh, and that one's exciting because that's the bad guy one. And bad guys are always very intriguing to me. How is evil represented in terms of power, like in-game mechanical power level, and also thematically, like what do they do? What is evil in the game to do? And I'm not sure that you have to do stuff that people don't like. You just need to be powerful and a bad guy and have a menacing picture. Like, I don't know where to draw the line. And this is some of the reason I don't really like that there's a Sauron card, because he's the embodiment of evil. He is evil incarnate, and we never see him in the book, right? So to get a card of him, it kind of like doesn't allow him to live up to how bad he is and how scary he is and how scared everybody is of him when he has a card, because they can't just make a card that's so evil and overpowered that it's so egregious to play against, or it's ban worthy. They can't just do that. So they got to give him some balanced card, some ability that is like a regular balanced magic card ability. And then he doesn't live up to being frickin' Sauron. You know what I mean? So I'm torn. I'm torn on the Sauron bit. And I think that we'll probably see two cards for Sauron. So they're doing what I just said, but they're doing it twice. And I get it. They have to have Sauron in there for the Lord of the Rings people to be drawn in. Like, what is he like? Who is he? What does he do? You have to have Sauron in there for the people who don't know quite as much about Lord of the Rings. You need to have Sauron in there to draw them in and say, oh, he's the biggest, most baddest guy. He must be so powerful. The new players say, oh, he's so powerful. I want to build him. He's so crazy. Oh my God, can you imagine? Right? You have to have that bad guy in there and have him be powerful, because I don't think for somebody who's new to magic or getting into magic because of Lord of the Rings, or somebody who doesn't care about the themes of Tolkien as much as I do, I don't think Gandalf or Frodo does the same thing as frickin' Sauron, right? So I get why you have to have him in there. And I think that's exciting, but I don't know. I kind of wish he wasn't in there, but I'm not the designer, and I'm the guy that knows lots about Lord of the Rings instead of the guy that just wants to play Sauron. So I'm fine with it. Minamo, yeah, you guys got it. 65% on Minamo. I hope it's getting reskinned, because that's an expensive card that I would play in decks. And the only version I have of it is, I think, in my Animar deck. And I'm not switching it out and back and forth. And I want another version of it. And if it's the Falls of Rauros, that would be freaking awesome. Bonus points if there's a little tiny boat dropping down and all of like Boromir's stuff is going, that'd be super funny. Anyways, we're at an hour with no new cards to talk about. I would like to give everybody one last chance to tell me what they think about either a precon or which characters got the most highest likelihood of a reskin, or if I start to see a lot of good nights and thank yous, I'm going to shut her down. I'm going to take a good long drink of this Canadian Club ginger ale and say thank you for being here, everybody. I super appreciate everybody tuning in, listening to me just frickin' talk about Lord of the Rings. I'm on hour three of it tonight. So when I say I could just talk and talk and talk about Lord of the Rings, and I like sharing it, it's true, because I did it for 2 hours with Anna Margaret, and you should check out her YouTube. It's Anna Margaret. It's Anna Margaret on Twitter. It's fantastic. And she does magic content. She does cosplay. She does it all. And then I came on here and talked about it for an hour. And when we were in Vancouver last weekend, Kiel, he's in the chat. We just talked about like Lord of the Rings movies and we were talking about the card set. I just want to talk about it all the time. Is the Sauron card revealed actually the mouth of Sauron? No, there was a Sauron card revealed. Let's see here. It is Sauron the Lidless Eye. 4/4 Avatar Horror for red, black, 3. Enters the battlefield, gain control of target creature and opponent controls. Untap it, it gains haste. And you can go red, black, 1. Creatures you control get +2/+0 until end of turn. Each opponent loses 2 life. So if you have infinite mana, you just frickin' pump your whole team and make your opponent lose infinite life times 2. So that is a, it's a good card. It's fine. And you could do broken stuff. Reskin Yavimaya Cradle. Yes. You could reskin any of those really expensive lands that aren't on the reserve list from Kamigawa or, I don't know, Mask's Block. You get it Rishadan Port. Could be like, I don't know, whatever, Rivendell or the Shire or any place, really. You could... really anything expensive, just reskin it. Just freaking reskin it, because those are going to be in collector packs only, and it's not going to drive price down so much, but it is going to make them accessible, and it is going to add some more real in-world kind of flavor and depth to the set, where I can take this thing that's familiar, like Wasteland or Ensnaring Bridge or the Great Henge, and then I can have something new happen to it or with it, right? New art, new flavor. Pair it with this character in my Shire deck. Now I can play the Great Henge where before I couldn't, right? So the more reskins, the better. And can't have too many of those. The reskins, yeah, we'll put them in a secret layer then. And like, I won't buy those, but I'll order them individually once Fusion has them, or I'll trade for them with people in the nation, right? So the more the better. And everybody knows that I'm a big fan of the more the better when it comes to product and content and things that can be bought and consumed, had, the more the better, because it's great for the game. Keeps it affordable. It draws more players in. It keeps it fresh. It makes it feel like when you miss something and then discover it later, that you're rediscovering the game and you get like that I'm a new player feeling. So the more the better. So that's where I'll end it, I think. That's where I'll end it. I'll say again, thank you for being here. I appreciate everybody who tunes in. And if you want to recommend the podcast to anybody, please do. I know that everybody here does already. And this, along with last week, like episode 3's live stream, will be uploaded in order on the podcast feed in the next day or so. So until then, everybody, I'm getting out of here. Sorry that the comments are a little bit behind. I know that there's going to be people that are like saying bye and stuff. So see you later.